Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Rudo, Megan, and Blaze, still alive, still conscious, after a hockey game that had one puck that ever entered the net. And
at
while
the very end of the game.
While it will count as a goal on the scoreboard, that will not count as a goal in the stat book, officially, for anybody. So, which is a whole other argument that we've already had on this show. No reason to get into it. Avs win 1-0 over the New York Islanders in a game that honestly reflected way better than a 1-0 game, in my opinion, for Colorado at the very least. But it's not my job to do that in 60 seconds today. It's Blaze's job.
My turn. Let's go. Where's my clock?
Do you need 60 seconds for this?
I don't really need 60 seconds. Are we ready? All right. Avs came out kind of sluggish. Not really possessing the puck very much, and the Islanders kind of took advantage of it. Had a bunch of shots on net. Avs finally get into the game about, three-fourths through the first period. Then Curtis McDermott takes a penalty.
He sure does.
Welcome back. Then that kind of just wakes the Avs up, and they start getting shots on net. Cale Makar disallows a penalty. Just says, waves his hand, says no. Second period, the Avs came out, played great. And then they just improved even more into the third period, shut down the Islanders. You go to OT. You have one great chance where Cale Makar comes down, gives a pass over to JT Compher, has a great chance to bury it. Wide open net, can't make it. Go to the shootout. The only thing that you have to know is Evan Rodriguez has a move.
He's got one.
Georgiev played great.
He sure did. We'll get into all of it, break it all down, but let's rewind all the way back and start this game the way the Avs started it, with the negatives. Avs outshot 7-1 in shots in the first 10 minutes of the game. Not that bad. Let's make it clear. This wasn't like the Buffalo game where you look at it and all of a sudden they're down 2-0. But are these slow starts becoming a concern for Colorado?
No. You would like to see them start differently, and they are a concern when they start as horrifically as the Buffalo game.
Sure.
Because they are not in a position to climb themselves back out, but they killed a penalty.
They sure did.
They generated chances. Like, you would want a better start, but this specifically isn't a concern to me.
It would be a concern if your goalie wasn't so just steady back there, right? Like, obviously, you'd rather have the slow starts than the slow endings.
That's
yeah, I mean,
true.
It can be concerning, though, right? Like, you definitely don't want to be playing from behind for a whole game. And if your goalie's having an off night, or if they're just getting those prime chances because you're just not into the game yet, that can be a huge issue for a team. You don't want to be chasing every game.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's one of those things that I think, yeah, if they play a slow 10 minutes in the middle of the second period, it's barely even notable, right?
Yeah.
It's just, well, their other 50 minutes were really good, which was the case tonight. it's just something that I think sticks in people's minds a little bit more when it's the very beginning of the game. The whole cliche of start the game on time and things like that.
Right. I think it's like, oh, do faceoffs matter? Situationally, right. Slow starts matter. Situationally.
Yeah, when you give up two goals, they probably...
they for sure do.
Definitely not good.
When you give up none, they matter less. Crazy how that works. Credit, though, to Georgiev. He'll be doing a lot of that tonight, but he absolutely came ready to play from minute one. Didn't give up anything. Allowed the Avs to get settled and get going in the right direction. I don't have a ton else to say about the first period. It was the Avs' worst period of the game. Not that it was bad. By the end of it, it ended up a pretty even one. Another good penalty kill, as you mentioned, Blaze. Let's talk about this Cale Makar thing.
Yeah, let's.
Because it's not the first time I've seen this happen in the NHL, but I know for a lot of people it is. Weird? Normal? Did Cale do the right thing here? Or should he have let the penalty call happen?
Man, he knows Santa's coming. it's just one of those things, different guys have different feelings towards stuff like that. Like, there's other guys that are just like, well, it's the ref's call if they call what they call. Some people, Cale's just built differently. He doesn't need to cheat to win, I guess. I don't know what else to say. It's crazy.
I think it's instinct for him to do the right thing in that situation. That even he probably has a moment of regret.
He's like, oh, I should not have weighed that up.
But I also think that is who he is. It speaks to his character, and it's the type of thing that builds a reputation throughout the league as he becomes older than he is now. Other officials know that when they're officiating games with Cale Makar. They know that honesty. And so when we have those... Is it a phantom high stick call or not from that New York Rangers game where people are saying, oh, he's faking it?
Yeah.
I think that earns some trust in the future that he probably isn't. If you see him reacting to something, he probably isn't because he's honest.
That's a great point. The other thing I want to know, too, I want to see is what Bednar says about it as well.
Yeah, that'll be interesting when the post game. Go text Jesse and tell him to ask about that real quick. I'm sure someone will ask about it. It's an interesting situation. I think you made a great point, Megan, about him building that reputation around the league. Yes, everyone already knows he's a great player, but certainly after some comments by some people who will not be named, maybe Makar feels like he's got to prove that he's a good guy.
From the same state that they were playing.
Yeah, huh? Interesting.
Weird.
Interesting. Look, I have no problem with Cale doing it. I like to think if I was in that situation, I'd do it. I don't know that I would, but I like to think I'd be a cool enough guy to do that.
I'm not.
I'm going to ask the same question I kind of rhetorically asked on the watch along. Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Is Cale still doing it?
No chance. Megan.
He probably wouldn't.
There's more money involved in that as well.
He'd probably chalk it up to, well, it's their call, and they said that, so that
looked like that caused you physical pain to say that.
Be like, I don't know what happened, but obviously it was a penalty.
Just checking what the thoughts were. Yeah, I don't think there's any chance he wins off a penalty in the playoffs. But
if he did, you might get reamed by a coach when you come off.
Is what it is. Obviously, it all worked out in the end because the Avs pulled down the W in this one. I'm glad that happened because I don't want to talk about that and have someone with a bad take about how that cost the Avs the game.
True.
Because it didn't.
That would have aged poorly.
Yeah.
Same with the slow start if it had the first period had ended differently.
Well, even the slow start, even after they started getting shots on net, nothing was really dangerous. It was more outside shooting at that point, and they were having a hard time getting anything inside to get rebounds.
Yep. Penetration was not great.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest positive you can take away from regulation in this game, and we'll get to overtime in the shootout, a full game of hockey where you saw the Avs build in the right direction, right? Yes, there's bad play here, mistake there. But on the whole, you watched it go from here in a straight line up to here by the end of the game. It's weird to ask this question in a game that ended 1-0 with no goals in it, but building block for Colorado?
Absolutely. You said the word process.
Yep.
And that is what it feels like, is they are getting comfortable with the process, and they're building and they're building, and they're looking more like themselves again. And even though the score sheet doesn't reflect that in terms of scoring goals, the other things that they're doing well, they have to continue doing that.
I mean, the chances that they were getting tonight, they just weren't dropping in. They hit so many posts. They miss a lot of nets.
I really, really struggle with even calling it lack of finish tonight with multiple posts. If you watch along, you heard me say four or five different times, like, that was a good shot. Yeah. It just didn't go.
I think the
played well.
He did.
The lines are starting to gel. You're starting to see the physicality from Mikko, the big, you know, big guys.
Yeah, he was bodying fools tonight.
Makar was out there doing the same thing. They just felt really engaged tonight, moving the puck around well. Like, again, they just couldn't finish tonight.
Ed, yes, of course you want to see more finish, but this game, more than I think any of the others that we've talked about since the start of December, just tip your cap to Sorokin and go, dude, balled out tonight. Like, sometimes a goalie is just better. And I don't really know how else to chalk this one up, other than Val might need an exorcism or something. But
Val might need an exorcism.
Hits a post, has a ridiculously good tip that just sails wide, has multiple other chances in tight. They're either bouncing off his stick or things just aren't working. That it's frustrating in the moment, but it's those types of plays that you look at and you go, oh, it's coming. I'm perfectly confident in Val. Honestly, perfectly confident in this entire lineup. Megan, you kind of needled at it a little bit there. The Avs starting to look a little bit more like the team we know. Yes, they didn't put the goals in, but they just dropped, 45, 46 shots did it end up being on Sorokin 46. In this one? That's Colorado hockey, is just burying other teams.
And it's players you'd expect to be generating those chances, but also outside of that, too, trying to contribute. And we watched a lot of players get denied tonight. I think Ben Myers had chances. Yep. You watched JT Compher had chances.
We'll talk about at least one of those.
That one was a really difficult one for JT. But you watch a lot of players stepping up into the play in that way, and that's where the process part of it really makes you feel comfortable, because you're seeing, like, Vanatushkin's obviously still shaking off a little rust in some way, but there are things that he's still doing so well out there that I have no complaints. That's where they start to look like themselves again. When Evan Rodriguez looks like, what, honestly, better than advertised, in my opinion. When we heard of him coming to the Avs in the offseason so quick to camp, we kind of set the bar, I don't know, in the middle somewhere. Yep. Like, all right, and he'll eventually be a depth player, and he's just played above expectation.
He's playing like a top six guy right now, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You also mentioned, Blaze, the chemistry that's coming. Erod and Newhook, they got a little something going right now. I know they didn't finish tonight, but multiple games in a row now, multiple shifts in this one. You see them both coming in the offensive zone, and you're like, hey, look at this. So
it's dangerous.
It is dangerous. And then, of course, Erod with the only puck that went in the net tonight. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But, again, maybe this is just because I was brought up with dead puck hockey, so I'm used to this kind of hockey game. But I really only have positives things to say about Colorado, really.
Yeah.
I don't know how you don't love this game from them.
I mean, I have a question. Does anyone want to get rid of Sam Girard tonight after tonight's
no
performance?
Shot.
Because, I mean, that guy was solid all the way through tonight.
On both ends.
Yep.
And, one of those guys that had quality opportunities for Colorado with the shooting.
Six on net.
I mean,
attempt block. That's crazy.
Yeah. I don't think you could really ask for much better than that, particularly not just with Girard, but Makar and Taves had some of these as well. The Avs were creating quality rebounds in front from their defensemen. It's just putting it in the net afterward. It just wasn't quite, come on, you know? But still, hugely, hugely positive step for me on the offensive side of the ice for sure for Colorado. So I don't know how to transition that. I was going to say, if you want to be on the offensive side of the ice, go get yourself a Breck brew, but I don't know how the transition doesn't make any sense, but you should still go get yourself a Breck brew. go on over to breckbrew.com and check out the local Breck beer locator for yourself. You can find them at your local liquor store. They have dozens of flavors, including their Christmas and winter ales, which are out there right now. Obviously a great option given the season. I love their Christmas ale personally. If you're into the, what do you call them? Spices, I guess. They feel like that's the wrong word, but I guess there's spices in there.
Oh yeah.
Not like chili spices, but like...
No, but like herbs and spices.
Yeah, yeah.
Like cinnamon.
Yeah, is that a spice? Please. I don't know.
Are you saying there's notes in it?
Notes, yes. There's some notes of kinds. I don't know. Clearly, I don't know what I'm talking about, but Breck Brew does. So go get yourself a Breck Brew, or you can come down to the bar. 8 different kinds on tap down here. We are also brought to you by the amazing people over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Blaze hit 2 out of 3 bets tonight.
Yeah, my over on goals didn't hit for some reason. It was weird.
Oh, crazy, right? I mean, look, if you YOLO'd an under 2, I bet you made a lot of money on this game, though.
Hey, Miko with 3.5 shots ended with 10.
Yeah, had kind of almost tripled that one. So Miko continues to be good money if you want to get in on that right now. Of course, if you make a new account and use code DNVR, you can bet on any hockey team to win their next game. Bet just $5 to win $150 in free bets through DraftKings. Flavors, yeah, kind of. It's like, I do think it gets sold as like spices, like if you get in a Belgian ale. But I'm going to have to look this up after the show now. It's going to bug me. Anyway, DraftKings, get over there. Use the DNVR code. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details, or you can look at the show notes down below. And of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Second period of this game. Now, before we get into the Avs dominating offense more than we already have, I do want to talk about Alexander Georgiev because he did play great tonight, but also a intermittent game for him, right? He faces a lot in the first period, only faces 5 shots on goal for the majority of the second.
Yeah.
Is this a critical skill for him? Do you think he can handle games like this, especially when the Avs get healthy? We've seen them go on runs where they just don't give up that many shots. How important is it for Georgiev to get a feel for games like that?
I think it's really important. I like you would classify this as being not the most shots that he had to field.
Mostly just the second period, I would say, is the slow part of the game.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Because I know the question of the goaltending is how much they're facing and whether or not that
right
helps or hinders their game in any way. But on the whole, I think 12 of those 26 saves that he makes are from high or medium danger chances. Like, he was tested in a big way. Yeah. And so that's why I think that the credit's all Georgiev's. Yeah. These types of games are important because he is really challenged. Like, I don't think he had an easy job tonight, but I do think the Avs did a good job of making it a little easier for him than they have in the last couple of games.
I think the other side of that, though, is just, like, when the puck isn't in the zone, when you're not seeing yeah shots, like, can you keep your head in the game and not wander and be focused on what's going on? And I think it is kind of a thing as the Avs D gets healthy. You saw that last year as well. Like, there'd be long stretches where, yep, you know, there wasn't a lot of business in front of the net. So, I think it's a skill that they have to work on. I mean, obviously did great tonight.
Great pull on the high danger shots face statistic there, because you don't do nothing for a while and then you make a high danger save.
You're dialed in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one, you're dialed in. Two, the team in front of you goes, okay, we can trust this guy. We're good to just go play more offense, which the Avs do love to do, even if they don't finish any of their shots. And it's still a little bit frustrating.
The greatest thing, too, about that was it was overall a calm performance.
It was.
As well.
It was. The whole night, he really didn't look very scrambly. And even pucks he fought off, he was very, it's here, it's up there, I got it, it's fine. So we'll talk about him a little bit more later, I'm assuming. I don't know how the poll is actually going, but I'm assuming it's going his way, or else you're wrong, chat. So they're wrong? All right, good. So sometimes chat does okay. It happens. Avs offensively. Who, and I love using this question because I get a different answer every night. Bottom six. Who'd you like the most? And if you say Jacob McDonald, I will walk off this set.
That's mean.
Not even his fault. Tough question tonight.
Well, Charles Houdon isn't here anymore.
That's true.
Yeah, we're
the
like,
Houdon homies are at a loss.
Oh, my goodness.
I feel like I've been talking up Ben Myers, and that's still kind of who I favor for that right now. I don't think Kout had a bad night, so it's not a demerit of him necessarily. It just, I think Ben Myers was a little more eventful.
Cap can have a good night and Ben Myers can have a better night. It's definitely fair.
Fully.
Curtis McDermott. Shots on net. Hits.
You take away that penalty, maybe, and it feels
like one
true.
Shift to the second, one shift to the third. It's weird, Curtis McDermott. I can't even evaluate what he did.
I was going to say LLC, but I think McDermott might have had a better game than LLC.
Is it because of what happened in overtime?
That might be swayed. It's like that recency bias, right?
Or that was like, a little tough look for LOC.
Yeah.
He wasn't particularly noticeable in regulation, was he?
No.
Which happens to bottom six guys some nights.
Yeah.
But, all right. I lied. There might. I don't know if this is a negative or more of just continued weirdness. It was. It felt weird when they were giving Jacob McDonald 3.5 minutes.
Oh.
At this point,
what did he do in two shifts?
He played. Did he get a shift in the third period at all?
Let me look.
Just ended at a minute 36.
That's correct.
Really?
Yes.
What?
Wow.
And again, this is nothing against Jacob McDonald. This is
it's just puzzling. Now.
A usage decision by Jared Bednar. Yeah. I don't understand. I don't understand what the point is. Why are you not trying a different guy in that role if you aren't willing to play this guy 2 minutes?
Yeah.
I just don't get it. I don't get how it works out. Bednar has shown a willingness to give Foodie ice time. He's shown a willingness to give Houdon ice time. Why not throw them in that spot and have another option to you instead of a guy that's literally a grocery stick?
Three shifts up and down the ice.
I'm looking so intensely at this presser, like the answer will.
Can I read his lips?
Right.
I mean, is it three or two shifts? Whatever it was not much at all.
Two
shifts.
I'm sure Jacob McDonald loves the NHL paycheck, but there's no way he's having a good time sitting on that bench for an entire period. Watching this game get played in front of him.
Well, and at some point, if you're not earning the trust of the coaching staff, I mean, it is time to kind of just go, okay, I'm not going to make it here. Like, what are the plans for him?
I'm sure he's a home in Loveland that he's
would like to go back
to. Suitcase right now.
Well, and he could go play some hockey, too.
Yeah, and he could go play, probably be the captain.
Yeah.
If they're, it's certainly... I don't think any team's going to look at this guy and think, oh, he played a minute 36. Yeah, let's claim that guy.
Unless it's some psyops and they're doing this. Like, right. And then when we put him on waivers, everyone will see that we only played him two shifts last game.
At that point, is that like too suspicious?
Suspicious. Yeah.
Just, it continues to be such an oddity because when you see guys ice time get cut like this, it is almost always followed by a scratch, if not a send down to the minors. And it just kind of keeps happening with McDonald, where they just won't commit to that next step.
Has Bednar said anything about his play? Like, why he's only getting this? You know, like, usually he'll come out and say, look, this is kind of, you know, why we're playing this guy over this guy.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone's asked him directly about it, so I haven't heard anything about it either.
I can't recall something that points to an answer either.
Yeah.
I'd
love to just get their take on it, like why it's happening, but why he's still up here taking a minute and a half game.
It's just so odd that the Avs are willingly playing a man down, essentially, at that point.
It feels like strong messaging if you're Charles Hudon or John Luke Cootie looking in on this.
Yeah, those dudes are like, you could give me that spot.
Right, someone to Chatmich and Galchenyuk.
Yeah, good point. Good
That's
point.
Interesting.
Weird one, for sure. Anyway, we can move on from that, get to the positives of this second period and the rest of the game. I don't want to shirk crediting the Avs defense tonight, because yes, at times they did give up high danger chances, but we're seeing this team start to click a little bit, and I think we're seeing not just the top guys giving the heavy loads. I don't know what Makar's TOI ended up at. I'm sure it was quite high as it got later in the game, but certainly through the first period, they were rolling. Even Englund and Brad Hunt, they were just rolling those guys out there. So is that a show of confidence for them where it's missing for Jacob McDonald, or is that just happenstance of the game?
Sorry, will you repeat the question?
Is the more ice time for the second and third pairing defensemen a show of faith from Bednar, or was it just happenstance of the game?
I think it is a show of faith because I've watched Englund and Hunt, just as an example, get pretty consistent ice time together over these last couple of games. So I think they've earned a little bit of trust there. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of that is just to not break
actually shatter his
bones. Because I feel like we've come close to that. I feel like we have seen games where he doesn't quite look like himself, and you think it's wear and tear.
I think
and
parts
so
of tonight he kind of looked like that.
You have to trust Englund and Hunt out there just a little bit more. Just like, I'm pretty sure I watched Curtis McDermott even take a defensive zone playoff, a face off. I don't know what I'm saying. and so you just like have to have a little bit of display of trust.
I agree. I think there's some trust there. I think
they're still heavy loading the first.
They are. And I know they are.
31 minutes, Kale McCarr.
That includes like 4 minutes of overtime.
Yeah.
It's probably more like 3 minutes, but it's, and that always happens, to be clear, in close games. As you get into the third period, Jared Bednar just chops off a third of the bench and says, all right, let's go. But
that's what all coaches
do.
Yeah,
of course, of course.
You got the guys that you trust in those situations.
And they kind of stick with that. But as much as I don't love it when Andreas Englund is breaking out the puck and it gives me concerns, it's working. It clearly functioned tonight for the opportunities the Avs gave up. For the most part, I thought they really did a good job of getting out of their own zone tonight.
I agree.
So it feels good to take a look at one of these games and say, hey, the process was good. They got the win. And when you actually dig deeper into the process, you feel like they're doing the right things to win a hockey game.
Well, even in the second period there with the two power plays that they had, those power
plays
they
were really good.
They looked good. They got the zone entries. They were making crisp pass.
Yes.
They had shots on net. Well, shots near the net.
Hit the parts of the net that are made of metal.
Yep.
But those passes were connecting. So.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think we both said after both of them, how can you be mad at that power play? Like, they did everything right, but beat Sorokin.
Yep.
Except for that second unit's a little shaky, but they didn't get much ice time.
They didn't.
So.
No, I really didn't see that second unit.
Still a work in progress. Obviously, they still very dearly miss McKinnon on that far side. Yeah. It's just, having that extra weapon there makes such a world of difference on the power play.
Yeah.
But it really, really hard to look at that and go, if you play a power play like that 10 times, they probably score on like 4 of them.
Yeah.
So I'm really struggling to find negatives in these parts of the game, which is good. I'm glad I don't have to come up here and make a, wow, this actually sucked show. It was actually quite a good game. Third period of the hockey game, you start getting into this, and I think I look at Mikko most for this, but how do the Avs stay chill? How do they not start gripping the sticks because a puck won't go in the net for them? What's it take?
Did Mikko
stay
chill?
I'm saying he did. I think he turned it up physically.
Yeah.
But also, dude tried to just bop a puck up over a defenseman with his stick. So, like, he clearly wasn't that stressed.
I think it, I mean, part of that is just like being able to channel your frustration in the right way.
Yeah.
You know, like it can go into a bad place where you're taking penalties or you're just not engaged in games. We often
see that with Miko.
Yeah, right. But what we've been seeing lately here is like this, no, I'm just going to run over this dude. I'm going to try to dance around a guy by, you know, bopping the puck over his head. He played a physical game. He was just doing stuff away from just trying to score that you like to see.
Absolutely. I think he looked very intentional in what he was doing. Didn't look flustered, though. I don't think anyone player did. It just felt like they knew they had to keep generating chances and eventually something has to go in.
There was the one shot of him coming back to the bench.
Was he smiling a little?
Well, he was about to break his stick.
Yeah.
It was almost like that Happy Gilmore where they're like, he's like, no, just put it down. He was going to break his stick over his knee and then he just kind of chilled out.
If I had insurance that equaled the amount of money that Mikko Rantanen creates over breaking sticks over his knee, I'd have really good insurance. We'll put it that way. He breaks a lot of sticks.
Yeah.
But he held it together.
Yeah.
Held that composure. We've already talked enough about Mikko over the last couple of games. I can't stress enough how important he has been in keeping it together for this hockey team, particularly in the games that they win. Sure, didn't score the goal tonight, but Blaze, I think you covered it with, especially later in the game, he just decided he was going to start running people over.
Yep.
So, don't get in the way of a moose, all right? That's how you die. We are brought to you by the amazing people over at FOCO.com. Go over there to get all of your Avalanche merchandise. Of course, any other team around the states and country and world, if you want. For the Avs, they have a bunch of amazing bobbleheads. They've got apparel, hats, Crocs. I think they had a blanket on there last time I checked, too. By the way, I love blankets. No, serious question. What is the perfect size for an adult human blanket? I know this is very specific information.
Like as big as it can get.
Correct answer.
Yeah.
All right. My wife has all these like 4x5 blankets.
Those are throw annoying.
Blankets? Yeah. It's like they don't even cover me up.
Throw them away.
Yeah. Thank you. Let's go.
What about a Snuggie with the arms?
Yeah, I could do a Snuggie.
It's just a different thing. You know, it's not a blanket.
Sure.
When I want a blanket, I want a blanket.
A big-ass blanket.
Oh, yeah, swimming pool-sized. Yeah.
That's what I'm about, all right? Big blankets only. Go get your blankets at FOCO. Also, all of your other sports merch. Highly recommend you check them out. FOCO.com, FOCO.com. Use code DNVR to get 10% off your purchase as well. And then we're brought to you by the American Raptors. Free tickets to American Raptors games. They cost you $0 at AmericanRaptors.com. You can go out, have a day at Infinity Park in Glendale. Absolutely beautiful arena if you've never been. Also, rugby's kind of dope. We were talking about Ultimate Frisbee earlier on the show, the watch-along. That's the one. it feels like years ago at this point. Ultimate Frisbee's cool, but rugby is like Ultimate Frisbee without all of the stopping. It's just always going in one direction or the other, which is why rugby's dope. It's kind of like hockey in that regard. If you haven't checked it out, go follow DNVR Rugby on Twitter. They do 101 pods. Colton Strickler does amazing work over there. So if you're new to the sport, he will teach you all of the stuff you need to know and get you up to speed. And if you're a longtime member of the sport, he gets interviews with literally every human being in the sport. It's crazy. Every week he's like, yeah, I interviewed this Hall of Famer, 2-time world champion. And it's like, what the hell? How do you keep getting all these guys? Anyway, go check it out. Follow DNVR Rugby. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Overtime. One, and I've asked this question before, is 3-on-3 still fun? Or has the NHL steadily dismantled it into something boring and overcoached?
Well, it's not YOLO hockey anymore. Like the first season that they implemented it and everyone's just like, there was no systems put in place. Coaches hadn't analyzed everything and you know, basically created a system that's a very passive system in what should be the most exciting time in hockey for a regular season. But it's still fun to watch because there's always going to be a breakdown somewhere.
Logan O'Connor.
Yeah, Logan O'Connor.
It wasn't completely.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the breakdown you're having, you can live with that one.
No, but that's why it's still fun, though. Yeah. It can still, like, you see the caution, especially tonight, I think both teams displayed extreme caution. But there are still moments where your heart rate goes up because you'll see Vanatushkin do something incredible, right? And then he needs to go recover the puck from Kale McCarr, who's struggling a little bit in his own end. That gives you a little bit of stress.
Yeah.
That's fun. That part wasn't fun.
But I feel like compared to that level of stress, compared to a couple of years ago, was a literal 5 minutes of heart attacks. So just like,
it's for our health.
Odd man breaks back and forth.
I say that also knowing as this overtime rather went on, JT Compher missed a literal wide open net.
Yeah, he had the 6x4 to hit, basically.
And
such a good pass.
Airmailed it off of a great play.
I mean, if you watch the replay, you can see that the puck flips up on its side.
Yeah, of course.
Which makes it hard to, you know, because you're trying to raise it a little bit, but not that much.
Raised it a lot a bit, unfortunately.
He's done the opposite, too, where he didn't lift the puck at all and he's missed. So I think he just overestimated it.
Find the middle, JT. Right. And for as much as I say it's boring, that wasn't even the only great chance of the overtime period the Avs had. In the dying seconds, Kale McCarr beats his man up the ice after a great stretch pass to Mikko. They get a grade-A opportunity coming right down the middle, and Sorokin just makes a better play.
That was a huge save. Yeah. It was the save.
Yep. Summed up the entire game pretty neatly, I would say, certainly from the Islanders' side of things. So is there anything you would do differently in overtime if you were the Avs here? Let me ask you that.
Besides score the goal, no.
Yeah, besides play better.
Well, not even play better. I mean, like, defensively, I thought they played really well, like, especially for an Avs team in overtime. So, and they got chances. That's what you're trying to do, right? Like, you're looking for those grade A opportunities in overtime now. Like, you're not taking this, I might make it to the net, I might get a shot off type of chances. So I thought they played well in overtime.
Yeah, I do think there was a time or two where they got bailed out a little bit, a stick or a puck rolls off a stick for New York, things like that.
Yeah.
But that's just Kale McCarr's good karma coming back into the end of the game, right?
And that's just part of hockey, right? That happens all the time.
It just all added up on it.
No.
You get into the shootout. Georgiev got a little bit lucky in the shootout, I think.
Not on the first goal.
Not the kick save was
the first one was fine.
It was close.
Okay. I'll give you that one. Sure.
That's all Georgie.
Third goal? He looked like he was pretty torched.
He was torched, but did he get his stick on that? Is that what happened?
I'd have to go back and watch. I'm sure chat will confirm it for us one way or the other in a minute.
But
that was Tito, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think I've made this up in my head now, and
it's official now, whether you made it up or not.
I really hope that
there was one dude that was sick out there for the Avalanche, though, in the shootout.
Oh yeah, I guess we should get to this guy. Puck just flew off a stick. Thank you, dude. Oh, okay, much appreciated.
Well, then, yeah, that's luck.
A little bit of luck, and guess what? You need a little bit of luck to win hockey games, Adam.
The clean living for McCarr just wore off on the whole team. So
there you go. Yep. McCarr's doing it, living right for everybody. Yep. Does that count as a minor miracle? Can we Saint McCarr here?
Saint McCarr, all right. I love it. Another A, also known as.
Obviously, the only puck to go in the net tonight was Erod. Literally the carbon copy of the movie he did against the Rangers earlier in the year. Okay, we'll do it. We'll do the Stephen Colbert thing. Great shootout move or greatest shootout move from Erod?
From Erod or
in general? I'm asking you to your face, Wolski or Erod?
Oh, Wolski.
I don't have enough of Erod to evaluate yet.
Yeah, that's
he's done it twice, but he beat Shesterkin and he beat Sorokin. Like, okay, that's
pretty
compelling.
Good. Pretty good.
That thing is solid though. There's no tells in it. A lot of the times, like a skater will have a tell that a goalie can see. I mean, skates are pointed, like yeah. He's going across. Everything's just pointed that way. You don't see it, and then all of a sudden he just changes directions. It's hard for a goalie to, you know, track that type of movement.
Yep. He's just so committed to yeah. that cut move. That.
And the best thing that he could do is, like, few games doing this, the tape's out there, and then you just keep going.
And it keeps working.
Right. Because the goalie's going to bite.
You just do one where you rip it to the backhand.
Yeah, well, yeah, because you're just going to fake like you're going to do it, yeah. And then you just keep going.
Yeah, and if he just does one other thing out of it,
yep.
Goalies are doomed forever. Like, yeah. You never know what he's going to do.
Well,
because
then you can't, there's this no, you can't cheat it. So, yeah.
Yep.
Hard for a goaltender to track those.
Great all the way around. We do have one super chat. We'll get a couple more thoughts in after that. $2 from Vaguely Sober, who says, Dr. Dubs prescribed sleep medicine. DNVR and some E-Rod love on there. Did he? Yeah, okay. All right. No, that makes sense. I think. Does it always say from Vaguely Sober, or did he write Vaguely Sober in? Well, at the top, but does it say from him? I feel like he wrote that part in. Yeah.
No, you're right.
Okay. All right.
I love it.
P.S. Shout out the new pod mom, Tiff, everybody. Everybody say hi to Tiff.
Tiff.
I don't know. Are you the in-law? Are you the stepmom? I don't know. We'll have to figure that out as the pod evolves.
I'm the long-lost cousin no one knew was here the whole time.
Always been here.
Always been here. Just no one ever knew.
Hiding in the corner. Anyway, glad to have her aboard. Is there anything else you guys want to add on the shootout before we get to final thoughts?
Miko, you need to try something new.
Miko keeps trying the same thing and it's not working anymore.
It was so great the first time, but now it's too simple.
It was there, though.
Like, it was the there.
He just got to hit his mark.
He didn't, though.
No, he hasn't.
Because the last time before it also didn't work for him.
So I'm assuming chat did, in fact, vote for the right person for King of the Game. And if you did, it's because he didn't give up a single goal in this hockey game. Outdueled Sorokin, absolutely bawling out in goal. I know we talked about him a little bit already, but literally cannot overstate how important goaltending is for this hockey team right now. AJ has talked about it a lot. He feels that the injuries wouldn't have even mattered if the Avs continued to get A-plus goaltending from Georgiev. It did slip for a little bit there. It's back now.
He's back on his bullshit.
End of the show. That's
just chop it. we do have to do our final thoughts here. Other than being back on your bullshit, Blaze, what do you think of this hockey game as a whole?
I mean, I thought it was fun. Again, like, it's low scoring, right? So it's kind of crazy, but it was fun to watch the Avs just kind of start slow and just ramp things up and just take the game over. Halfway through the game, you just felt like this team was going to win this game. Like, there was not a lot of concern that they were making mistakes that were too costly at that point. And then came out in the third, even better, and then finished on a high note with a great goal at the end, I guess. Whatever it's shootout goal.
I loved everything about this game except Andrew Cogliano getting hurt.
We didn't talk about that.
Yeah.
There isn't an update.
Of course there is.
Because of course not.
It did not look good on the ice, though.
Well, especially someone tough as nails like Cogs. When he doesn't get up, when he gets up finally and is going like this, you're like, oh, God, this is not good.
I mean, it was shoulder first into the boards. Never a good sign.
Obviously hope Cogliano's okay, and not to make light of an injury, but is that Jean-Luc Foudy's music?
It doesn't feel like it is. Just because of like the role that they'd probably want to
for sure
bring someone who could profile similar to what he brings, and it wouldn't be Foodie.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't think it's Dennis Malkin either.
Interesting. I keep forgetting about him.
He'll be in, though. Dennis Malkin. Well, I assume he'll be in for next game. There might be some visa issues and such since he was playing in Toronto before. Yeah. So we'll see exactly how quickly that goes out.
Yeah, Hudon time. Let's go.
Maybe Hudon. Maybe Galchenyuk, Bowers.
Bowers is healthy now. It's true.
Yep.
We'll have to wait and see. Other than that, the one thing I will say is I don't believe in karma, for the record. But if I did, this game kind of feels like it. The Avs have taken a lot of tough bounces, both with injuries and just generally with pucks this year. This one felt like the bounces didn't go against them, at very least. Sure, Sorokin played great. He deserves credit for that. Didn't get a funny, weird one that ends up in the back of the Avs' net. And the Avs win the game.
Yep.
This team is good enough that it doesn't take a good bounce for them to win. They just can't afford a bad bounce against. That's all I got. We're going to get out of here. We appreciate all y'all hanging out so very much. Back tomorrow with a 1 p.m. show. Hope y'all will tune in for that. Until then, we'll talk to you on the next one.